Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
On this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording.
Let's get our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. One verse of Scripture, just something to give you some encouragement. Tonight, Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That is a profound verse of Scripture. That is a tremendous verse of Scripture because there's no limitation here. Let's talk to the Lord about it and then ask Him to talk to us about it. Father, we ask You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, open our understanding of this Scripture. I ask You, please, Father, to provide for every person that's here tonight that took the time on this weeknight to come to church, something from this verse of Scripture that will address something going on in their lives that will really encourage them. And I ask You to do that for us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm sure there are people that take this kind of verse of Scripture right here completely out of context and said, yes, sir, boy, that candy apple red brand new Cadillac is be mine because He said He's going to freely give it to me. You know, there are a lot of other verses that balance what's in this verse of Scripture. But when you think about the love of God in giving us Jesus Christ, in that He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Then He says, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You know, you can't think of the thing that He can't do or won't do for you after doing that much. I mean, if somebody comes to you and they say, you know, I'm going to give you $5 and you really need 100, you're not sure if they'll give you 100 because all they've ever given you is 5. And you know that's the limit of their generosity. When Jesus Christ gives you the most precious thing that He can possibly give you in giving you His Son, everything else He can possibly give you is less than that. So you know the limit of His generosity already exceeds anything else you could possibly need. You needed a clean life. There's only one place in the universe you could get that, Jesus Christ. He gave you that. You needed a payment for your sins. There's only one place in the universe you can get that, Jesus Christ. He gave you that. You needed a ticket out of hell. Jesus Christ spent 3 nights and 3 days there, and He gave you that because He's already paid for the second death, and then He rose from the dead and lives forever. You needed eternal life, and He gave you that. There's nothing in the universe greater than that. I mean, it's just like Abby was saying, you've lost a friend, but your friend is in heaven, and you've not lost a friend. You've lost the company of that friend for a very short period of time, only to regain that company for an eternity. It's a very small loss. And the reason is you have eternal life, your friend has eternal life, and so it goes on forever. It's just a temporary little lapse in time. So when He has already given us the limit in a clean life, payment for sin, a payment in hell, and eternal life, there's nothing that you can ask Him that's too much. Everything you need, He can give you, and He can give you freely. Sometimes we get the idea, and I know that with human nature, we just have this running through our heads, some of us anyway. If I pray hard, fast hard, go to church really regularly, then I think maybe I can sneak this little prayer in there and God will do it because I've been so good. Well, if it's dependent upon your level of righteousness and participation in the deal, it's no longer free. And sometimes or another, we get this idea, well, I hadn't been as good as I should be and all that other kind of thing, so He's going to withhold. You know, there seems to be an awful lot of guilt and shame in this whole thing and a whole lot of lacking in faith. Listen, what do you need? What do you need, really? I mean, listen, if there's something that God wants you to straighten out in your life, don't you think He can tell you that without dangling the carrot in front of your face? I think he can because his word is here. And listen, you know, there are some people that are serving the Lord greatly, and their lives don't look like they're going so well as far as some of the things. And you're thinking, well, what, you know, what's going on? If they can't, then how can I? You know, it's so confusing. Why don't we just take the verse on what it says, freely for what it says, and believe what it says and act upon what it says. He says, he spared not his own son. He delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What do you need tonight? You need peace? I can tell you a good place to get it. Before you go anywhere else, I'd go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you know what? You gave me eternal life. You gave me your son. I need some peace. And look to him to do that. We're all faced with a lack of wisdom over certain things in our lives. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, in James chapter 1, verse 5, you're to ask the Lord, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He won't punish you for coming to ask him something like that. You need wisdom about a thing. I can't think of a better place in the world to go than to Jesus Christ and say, I need some wisdom. You need some money? It's a good place to go and ask him. Now, he, in the Bible, has placed certain conditions on that element. Paul said over there in the Thessalonians, some of those guys did, and they were sort of freeloading off the church. He said, you guys need to go to work. But you know something? It is the Lord that giveth thee power to get wealth, and through that labor he will bless it and provide the money that's necessary to pay the bill. It always works out that way. Everything in life that we need. Hey, you need a husband? Let's see. Or a wife? Where do you go? I mean, I'm not singling you out. I realize it's a very small crowd in here, and some of you that are without those would stand out in the crowd. Maybe you need to be happy with the one you got. Where do you think you get that? Let me ask you something. You know, truly, in marriages, one of the difficulties is that one spouse has a conflict with the other spouse over something, and they spend a lot of time trying to change each other. You ever exercise yourself in that futility? It doesn't work. It does not work. You cannot do it. You can frustrate yourself to death, but you can't make it happen. You can't. I mean, I tried it. You can change yourself. And that will help. But you can't change that other person that you married with, that you share that house with, who has your house key. It doesn't work. But God can change them. God can change that person. And so, you know what? You say, Lord, I need to be happy in my marriage. How'd you get saved? Free gift? Then I believe that the Lord would work also freely in that thing. He said, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I think that little condition in there, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things, is pretty important, don't you? Because there are some things, listen, he's inside of you. There are certain things when he's inside of you that he doesn't want on or in or around your vessel. In other words, if he's with you, now that you have eternal life, and you want peace and joy and happiness, and he thinks the best way for you to eventually get that and the strength that goes with it is to put you through affliction and tribulation, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get affliction and tribulation. Why? Because that is a free gift of God that eventually leads to those things that you would really like to have. And nobody knows that better than Jesus Christ. And it's all free. It's all free. We don't believe that verse all the time. We don't believe that verse all the time. We look at that verse of Scripture and we know we have eternal life. Is there anybody in here tonight? I mean, I know you guys. Sometimes I'll say on Sunday, I don't know every heart that's here. I know you guys. Is there one person here that doesn't know he has eternal life? I mean, everybody, you all know that, right? If you don't, I'll be around here tonight. Come see me. I'm not going to assume anything, okay? But we've all had the chance to talk with each other about that. Where'd you get that eternal life? Got it from Jesus Christ. What did he charge you for it? Do you believe it? Believe it enough to act upon it and live right now? You're going to go to sleep tonight. Perfect peace that if you were to die tonight, you'd wake up in heaven. You're not even the least bit of concerned about that. But boy, when it comes to something like a little financial need or something with the car running right or something with the kids, we're scared to death he's going to hold out on us. And that's not what that verse says. When you were a little kid living at home, within the means that your parents could provide, didn't you always have the certainty that if it was something you really needed, they would take care of it for you? I mean, really, if you ended up with a medical problem when you were a little kid, did you ever wake up thinking, oh my gosh, I may have to go to the doctor and I'm not even sure my parents are going to take me? No, as a matter of fact, they were dragging you down there even when you didn't want to go. Isn't that the heart of a parent? And that's the heart of the Lord. He knows those necessities, and he says, I'll take care of it, free of charge, whatever that may be. You know what you need? Grace. You know what you need? Strength. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul said, I needed to get rid of the thorn of the flesh. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You need peace, he says, if you'll pray and thank God while you pray, you'll get a peace that passeth all understanding, and it will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I don't think there's a reason, unless there was some chemical dependency involved earlier, there's no reason for Christians to be on the stimulants and the things, ups and downs and all that stuff, the emotional drug, unless they've messed themselves up in some way, either when they were born, there was some chemical dependency that was in them, or they went through a lot of that. It's not necessary. Do you know that I know a pastor, I don't even remember his name now, who also was a psychological counselor, and after being with the church for a year and a half, had half of his congregation on Prozac? I'm serious. The guy pastored a church in Beeville. It's one way to get members. That's insane, man. That's insane. Everything is there with the Lord. I don't need to drag this out. You're getting the drift. There's not a whole lot of points here. There's a whole lot of encouragement here. Everything. He said, I'll give you all things. Now, can he do it? Well, he said, all power is given unto me, and the Lord, and he said, my Father's given me everything. What do you need? You need a star? He'll give you a star if you need one. I mean, he's got them all, right? Now, I look about that, and I think, you know, the fear mongers have scared Christians today into believing that God's not big enough to take care of you if the United States isn't on the map. Well, yeah, in so many words. I don't think God needs the human agency of the currency or the metal to take care of what you need. I mean, this widow is going to lose her boys, and he says, go get some vessels and pour that little bit of oil you have out. As she starts pouring, where is it coming from? It's coming from God. The Jews are out there in the wilderness. We're hungry. And there's no McDonald's out here or Taco Bell. You can't feed us. And for 40 years, every single day, out of heaven comes manna. I mean, for 1 million-plus people. What government was responsible for that?
The government of Mount Sinai.
Seriously, do we not remember those things that are in there? How could that widow really go to the treasury and drop two mites in there and walk out without a fanfare when she gave all of her living? What was she going to do for food tomorrow? How could she do that? Because she understood this verse better than a lot of us do. There's no reason for us to fret. There's no reason for us to worry. Pick it up with the Lord. You got all things. I need a little bit. Help me out. In Jesus' name. Right? Is the verse true? It really is. It really, really is. And let me ask you something. Going back to the illustration of parents and children. Let's say you needed a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for your lunchbox to take to school. How many of you ever took a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to lunch in a lunchbox when you were going to school? I did. Okay. Now, listen. And in your parents' pantry was a jar of peanut butter, and in the refrigerator was a jar of jelly, just your favorite kind, and in the bread pantry was a loaf of bread. And you went down to your neighbor's house and made the peanut butter and jelly sandwich down there so you wouldn't have to bother mom and dad and deplete their little supply for your peanut butter and jelly. You wouldn't do that. You never did that. Why? Because you knew everything you needed was there already. You just helped yourself. Is that right? So why do we want to be going down to the neighbor's house fretting over all this stuff when he's got it all right there for you? All you got to do is open the door and help yourself. Freely. You say, well, I just wouldn't want to take advantage of him that way. Your parents never felt like that. Not unless you went to the movie every Friday night and bought $15 worth of concessions. I'll stop here. I think you get the point. Nothing luxurious about this little piece except for one thing. Just go do it. Just rely upon that. It'll make life a lot simpler. Won't it? A lot less worrisome and a whole lot more joyful, and you'll have all kind of things to be thanking God for all the time. Because He has those things for you and is delighted to make the provision. Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to take a simple little thing like this, one verse, and use it to speak to us this week, Father, about all those things, Father, that you freely give us. You don't want the devil to take glory for these things, nor do you want people to take glory for things that you do. And I ask you, Father, to help us to learn to live by the truth of that verse for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, let's get our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. One verse of Scripture, just something to give you some encouragement. Tonight, Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That is a profound verse of Scripture. That is a tremendous verse of Scripture because there's no limitation here. Let's talk to the Lord about it and then ask Him to talk to us about it. Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to open our understanding of this Scripture. I ask you please, Father, to provide for every person that's here tonight that took the time on this weeknight to come to church. Something from this verse of Scripture that will address something going on in their lives that will really encourage them. And I ask you to do that for us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm sure there are people that take this kind of verse of Scripture right here completely out of context and said, "Yes, sir, boy, that candy apple red brand new Cadillac is be mine because he said he's going to freely give it to me." You know, there are a lot of other verses that balance what's in this verse of Scripture. But when you think about the love of God in giving us Jesus Christ, in that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, then he says, "How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" You know, you can't think of the thing that he can't do or won't do for you after doing that much. I mean, if somebody comes to you and they say, "You know, I'm going to give you $5, and you really need 100, you're not sure if they'll give you 100 because all they've ever given you is 5, and you know that's the limit of their generosity. When Jesus Christ gives you the most precious thing that he can possibly give you in giving you his son, everything else he can possibly give you is less than that. So you know the limit of his generosity already exceeds anything else you could possibly need. You needed a clean life. There's only one place in the universe you could get that, Jesus Christ. He gave you that. You needed a payment for your sins. There's only one place in the universe you can get that, Jesus Christ. He gave you that. You needed a ticket out of hell. Jesus Christ spent 3 nights and 3 days there, and he gave you that because he's already paid for the second death, and then he rose from the dead and lives forever. You needed eternal life, and he gave you that. There's nothing in the universe greater than that. I mean, it's just like Abby was saying, you've lost a friend, but your friend is in heaven, and you've not lost a friend. You've lost the company of that friend for a very short period of time, only to regain that company for an eternity. It's a very small loss. And the reason is you have eternal life, your friend has eternal life, and so it goes on forever. It's just a temporary little lapse in time. So when he has already given us the limit in a clean life, payment for sin, a payment in hell, and eternal life, there's nothing that you can ask him that's too much. Everything you need, he can give you, and he can give you freely. Sometimes we get the idea, and I know that with human nature, we just have this running through our heads, some of us anyway. If I pray hard, fast hard, go to church really regularly, then I think maybe I can sneak this little prayer in there and God will do it because I've been so good. Well, if it's dependent upon your level of righteousness and participation in the deal, it's no longer free. And sometimes or another, we get this idea, well, I hadn't been as good as I should be and all that other kind of thing, so he's going to withhold. You know, there seems to be an awful lot of guilt and shame in this whole thing and a whole lot of lacking in faith. Listen, what do you need? What do you need, really? I mean, listen, if there's something that God wants you to straighten out in your life, don't you think he can tell you that without dangling the carrot in front of your face? I think he can because his word is here. And listen, you know, there are some people that are serving the Lord greatly, and their lives don't look like they're going so well as far as some of the things, and you're thinking, well, what's going on? If they can't, then how can I? You know, it's so confusing. Why don't we just take the verse on what it says, freely for what it says, and believe what it says and act upon what it says? He says, he spared not his own son. He delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What do you need tonight? You need peace? I can tell you a good place to get it. Before you go anywhere else, I'd go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you know what? You gave me eternal life. You gave me your son. I need some peace. And look to him to do that. We're all faced with a lack of wisdom over certain things in our lives. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, in James chapter 1, verse 5, you're to ask the Lord, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He won't punish you for coming to ask him something like that. You need wisdom about a thing. I can't think of a better place in the world to go than to Jesus Christ and say, I need some wisdom. You need some money? It's a good place to go and ask him. Now, he, in the Bible, has placed certain conditions on that element. Paul said over there in the Thessalonians, some of those guys did, and they were sort of freeloading off the church. He said, you guys need to go to work. But you know something? It is the Lord that giveth thee power to get wealth, and through that labor he will bless it and provide the money that's necessary to pay the bill. It always works out that way. Everything in life that we need. Hey, you need a husband? Let's see. Or a wife? Where do you go? I mean, I'm not singling you out. I realize it's a very small crowd in here, and some of you that are without those would stand out in the crowd. Maybe you need to be happy with the one you got. Where do you think you get that? Let me ask you something. You know, truly, in marriages, one of the difficulties is that one spouse has a conflict with the other spouse over something, and they spend a lot of time trying to change each other. You ever exercise yourself in that futility? It doesn't work. It does not work. You cannot do it. You can frustrate yourself to death, but you can't make it happen. You can't. I mean, I tried it. You can change yourself. And that will help. But you can't change that other person that you married with, that you share that house with, who has your house key. It doesn't work. But God can change them. God can change that person. And so, you know what? You say, Lord, I need to be happy in my marriage. How'd you get saved? Free gift? Then I believe that the Lord would work also freely in that thing. He said, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I think that little condition in there, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things, is pretty important, don't you? Because there are some things, listen, he's inside of you. There are certain things when he's inside of you that he doesn't want on or in or around your vessel. In other words, if he's with you, now that you have eternal life, and you want peace and joy and happiness, and he thinks the best way for you to eventually get that and the strength that goes with it is to put you through affliction and tribulation, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get affliction and tribulation. Why? Because that is a free gift of God that eventually leads to those things that you would really like to have. And nobody knows that better than Jesus Christ. And it's all free. It's all free. We don't believe that verse all the time. We don't believe that verse all the time. We look at that verse of Scripture and we know we have eternal life. Is there anybody in here tonight? I mean, I know you guys. Sometimes I'll say on Sunday, I don't know every heart that's here. I know you guys. Is there one person here that doesn't know he has eternal life? I mean, everybody, you all know that, right? If you don't, I'll be around here tonight. Come see me. I'm not going to assume anything, okay? But we've all had the chance to talk with each other about that. Where'd you get that eternal life? You got it from Jesus Christ. What did he charge you for it? Do you believe it? Believe it enough to act upon it and live right now? You're going to go to sleep tonight. Perfect peace that if you were to die tonight, you'd wake up in heaven. You're not even the least bit of concerned about that. But boy, when it comes to something like a little financial need, or something with the car running right, or something with the kids, we're scared to death he's going to hold out on us. And that's not what that verse says. When you were a little kid living at home, within the means that your parents could provide, didn't you always have the certainty that if it was something you really needed, they would take care of it for you? I mean, really, if you ended up with a medical problem when you were a little kid, did you ever wake up thinking, oh my gosh, I may have to go to the doctor and I'm not even sure my parents are going to take me? No, as a matter of fact, they were dragging you down there even when you didn't want to go. Isn't that the heart of a parent? And that's the heart of the Lord. He knows those necessities and he says, I'll take care of it, free of charge, whatever that may be. You know what you need? Grace. You know what you need? Strength. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul said, I needed to get rid of the thorn of the flesh. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You need peace. He says, if you'll pray and thank God while you pray, you'll get a peace that passeth all understanding, and it will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I don't think there's a reason, unless there was some chemical dependency involved earlier, there's no reason for Christians to be on the stimulants and the things, ups and downs and all that stuff, the emotional drug, unless they've messed themselves up in some way, either when they were born there was some chemical dependency that was in them, or they went through a lot of that. It's not necessary. Do you know that I know a pastor, I don't even remember his name now, who also was a psychological counselor, and after being with the church for a year and a half, had half of his congregation on Prozac? I'm serious. The guy pastored a church in Beeville. It's one way to get members. That's insane, man. That's insane. Everything is there with the Lord. I don't need to drag this out. You're getting the drift. There's not a whole lot of points here. There's a whole lot of encouragement here. Everything. He said, I'll give you all things. Now, can he do it? Well, he said, all power is given unto me. And the Lord, and he said, my Father's given me everything. What do you need? You need a star? He'll give you a star if you need one. I mean, he's got them all, right? Now, I look about that and I think, you know, the fear mongers have scared Christians today into believing that God's not big enough to take care of you if the United States isn't on the map. Well, yeah, in so many words. I don't think God needs the human agency of the currency or the metal to take care of what you need. I mean, this widow is going to lose her boys, and he says, go get some vessels and pour that little bit of oil you have out. As she starts pouring, where is it coming from? It's coming from God. The Jews are out there in the wilderness. We're hungry. And there's no McDonald's out here or Taco Bell. You can't feed us. And for 40 years, every single day, out of heaven comes manna. I mean, for 1 million+ people. What government was responsible for that?
The government of Mount Sinai.
Seriously, do we not remember those things that are in there? How could that widow really go to the treasury and drop two mites in there and walk out without a fanfare when she gave all of her living? What was she going to do for food tomorrow? How could she do that? Because she understood this verse better than a lot of us do. There's no reason for us to fret. There's no reason for us to worry. Pick it up with the Lord. You got all things. I need a little bit. Help me out in Jesus' name. Right? Is the verse true? It really is. It really, really is. And let me ask you something. Going back to the illustration of parents and children. Let's say you needed a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for your lunchbox to take to school. How many of you ever took a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to lunch in a lunchbox when you were going to school? I did. Okay. Now, listen. And in your parents' pantry was a jar of peanut butter, and in the refrigerator was a jar of jelly, just your favorite kind, and in the bread pantry was a loaf of bread. and you went down to your neighbor's house and made the peanut butter and jelly sandwich down there so you wouldn't have to bother mom and dad and deplete their little supply for your peanut butter and jelly. You wouldn't do that. You never did that. Why? Because you knew everything you needed was there already. You just helped yourself. Is that right? So why do we want to be going down to the neighbor's house fretting over all this stuff when he's got it all right there for you? All you got to do is open the door and help yourself. Freely. You say, well, I just wouldn't want to take advantage of him that way. Your parents never felt like that, not unless you went to the movie every Friday night and bought $15 worth of concessions. I'll stop here. I think you get the point. Nothing luxurious about this little piece except for one thing. Just go do it. Just rely upon that. It'll make life a lot simpler, won't it? A lot less worrisome and a whole lot more joyful, and you'll have all kind of things to be thanking God for all the time. Because He has those things for you and is delighted to make the provision. Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to take a simple little thing like this, one verse, and use it to speak to us this week, Father, about all those things, Father, that you freely give us. You don't want the devil to take glory for these things, nor do you want people to take glory for things that you do. And I ask you, Father, to help us to learn to live by the truth of that verse for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio recording at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our church or our radio broadcast ministry, we have two websites that are available to help you. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our radio listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you here. In the meantime, enjoy our audio sermons and radio broadcast online at either of our websites.